Please stand as you are able. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Then Jesus began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts help us to live and love like you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Who felt a little strange to say thanks be to God after that gospel reading? Right? It's a little awkward. And that will be this is our third and final week of our awkward series, where we talk about awkward conversations that Jesus had and faithful responses to them. So with that in our minds, I'd like to ask you a question. Who is someone who has been like Christ to you? Or who has been Christ in your life? Did you think of a name? Did you think of a story? What are the qualities of that person that makes them Christ-like? Is it a person that sat with you in the middle of a very difficult time? Is it a person who prayed for you and with you during the loss of a child, a parent, a loved one? Is it a person who is patient, kind, caring, and compassionate? Is it a person that can make you laugh, brings you comfort, helps you in a time of trouble? Is it a grandparent who showed you the faith? A parent who gave you way more grace than you ever deserved? A sibling who loved you even when you were mean? And a friend who always, always was by your side, even though they knew who you truly were? These would all be very common images of how we might depict Christ in our lives through the characteristics of other people. These are those feel-good emotions that we want Christ to be in our lives, but also what we want to live out for the world. But today we find another, maybe unexpected characteristic of Jesus that might not be associated as being Christ-like. So here's the question. Who is someone in your life that has told you the truth so clearly that you wanted to kill them? It's a little awkward, right? let's dive back in to Luke chapter 4 and look at the whole picture, because we start in the middle of the passage. So I'm just going to recap what happened from verses 14 to 21st. Jesus has returned home, and he is the hometown hero. He is received with much praise and thanksgiving from all of the people in Nazareth. They flock to him to listen carefully while hanging on every lesson that he teaches. When the Sabbath day rolls around, of course, Jesus is the guest of honor and asked to help with the service. He stands up. He approaches the scroll. He carefully unrolls it. The people in attendance are sitting on the edge of their seats to hear the good word that their very own hero would preach and proclaim. Jesus captured the attention of them all. Every eye was on Jesus. So empowered by the Spirit, he read the words of the prophet Isaiah that would be the basis for all the rest of his ministry. Jesus knew that he had come just as his mother had sang and proclaimed when he was in the womb, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and freedom to those who were oppressed. And after the reading of the scripture from Isaiah, he rolled up the scroll and he said, Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What a bold statement. Now, we might assume that the people who heard that would have wanted to kill him at that point, but nope, they were amazed at Jesus' grace-filled words, the scripture tells us. In their amazement and confusion, they began to ask, "Is not this Joseph's son? We've known him since he was just wee big. We saw him raised. Is Jesus telling us that he is the Messiah?" When they had thought that he was just a prophet. So Jesus speaks again as he can hear the mumble starting around him. Jesus knew what he had said would begin to cause a rift in the community in Nazareth. And so he boldly proclaims in his response a hard word of truth. Jesus comes to his hometown and he really knows the people there just as they really know him as well. He knows that they think highly of themselves because, of course, now they have Jesus, the one who is performing miracles, the one who is healing the sick. He is theirs to claim and to show off. They thought that Jesus might be a prophet, and in most cases, the prophet's hometown was blessed by that. The people around Nazareth could no longer speak of this small little city saying, "What good has come out of Nazareth anymore?" Because here is Jesus, their hope and their answer. They want him to do for them what he did in Capernaum. They are his own people, his friends, his family, after all, not a bunch of strangers like he had been encountering outside of Nazareth. Jesus belonged to them, and they have a special claim on him, which they expected him to honor by doing his best for them, healing, teaching, miracles, all in their presence. Now, the thought of all this didn't really sit well with Jesus, though. They were a family with high expectations. So Jesus' hard word of truth was an opening to the character of God that they knew from the scriptures that they had. As far as we know, Jesus did nothing for them but remind them that God's sense of community is bigger than theirs was. He offended them by telling them not one, but two different stories about how God passed over them and their ancestors in order to minister to strangers. First in the widow from the wrong side of the tracks, and then Naaman, who was an officer in the army of Israel's enemies. One of my favorite authors, Barbara Brown Taylor, puts it this way. It was like telling them God had become chaplain to the Ku Klux Klan, Or that God has passed over a Sunday school teacher who is sick in order to care for an ailing Hindu. He was not telling them anything new. He was telling them things that were right there in their own scripture, only that was not how they had interpreted it. They used it to close ranks on outsiders, not to open them up, and they snapped shut on Jesus. This is how sensitive we become when we are told that our enemies are God's friends. That is how mad we get when someone suggests that God loves the people we won't sit next to, the people who disturb and offend us and who belong to God just as much as we do. No matter how hard we try, we cannot seem to get God to respect our boundaries. We cannot seem to get God to love who we want to love and hate who we want God to hate, because God keeps going right through that, inviting us to follow or to get out of the way. The problem is not that we are loved any less in this situation. The problem is that as people, we cannot stand that the people that we do not like are loved just the same as us. We all too often try to put God in a nice, neat little box because it's comfortable to have control over who God is, what God does, and how God interacts with the world. We think that we can tell God who God should and shouldn't love, or we should or shouldn't get punished, or who should or shouldn't get punished for their actions. But the hard word of truth this morning is that God doesn't live in a nice, neat little box. God, through Jesus Christ, came into this world so that we could no longer say who is in and who is out. In God's eyes, and through the preaching of Jesus Christ, we know that everyone is loved and important and valued. Everyone deserves dignity and respect, even the people we don't like, even the people we don't understand, even the people who are so very different than us. And the people of Nazareth that morning got that message loud and clear. The ones that were Jesus' family and friends, the one that knew him before he was the star of the show, heard that message from one that they loved so dearly. They started to rise up out of their seats, and before you know it, the mob mentality had hit them, and they wanted to make Jesus an outcast like the ones that he preached about and proclaimed his love to. Because here's the thing. Sometimes the harsh word of truth is hardest to hear from our own families and loved ones. And sometimes that harsh, hard word of truth is hardest for us to speak to those we love the most. For the last 24 years, my brother has struggled with addiction. This made for some pretty awkward conversations throughout my childhood. Within a family system that deals with addiction, each family member falls into certain patterns and behaviors based around how they deal with the addict. My mom and I, for years, were the enablers. While in seminary and therapy, because I think that they go hand in hand, I started to cope with some of these issues. I started to gain health and healing around my brother's decisions for his own life, and I longed for a family that didn't walk on eggshells wondering what horrible thing was going to happen next. It wasn't an easy task at all to reconcile within myself. But what I found more quickly was that everyone else in my family especially my mom, she wasn't doing the same work in therapy that I was doing. And so when I began to set these new boundaries for what I thought that life should be like in our family, it was hard. And just as my therapist had to speak a hard word of truth to me that at first I didn't like and I didn't want to hear, I resisted. The new boundaries to my family were a harsh word of truth, whether I wanted them to be or not. It was much simpler for me to change my ways as an individual than it was to rock the whole entire boat of my family system to get them to shift to be healthy as well. Sometimes a hard word of truth is hardest for us to hear and say to those we love the most. Awkward, hard conversations are not fun to have, but we can learn from Jesus in the gospel from today that sometimes they are exactly what needs to be said and what needs to be heard. Jesus' words of hard truth, no matter how awkward the situation, still speak to us today. We are no better than our neighbors, any of them. And the characteristics of the loving God put forth by Jesus Christ are things that we need to strive for in our own lives, not just with those closest to us, but to everyone, everywhere, at all times. Because maybe the best example of who Christ is in your life is not the one with the feel-good emotions, but instead the one that speaks a hard word of truth to you, but does it with love. Love is the platform for all things, and if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Amen.